Blog Talk Radio.
A man decides after seven years, that's what he goes there for, to unlock the door. Well, those around him criticize and flee.
Time with Jerry, and of course my special guest who's on, John Stevens, waiting patiently for me. I don't have a lot of announcements tonight. Y'all know that Cavanaugh 360 is still doing some of their tours. I think they're still doing them. I think they still have tickets. You'll have to go to their page and check it out. Check out the different events on their page. Hello, Jennifer. Hi, Emma. I hope everybody's doing okay. This is Vibe Time with Jerry. We have John Stevens this evening. And, of course, I think we have two tickets left to our spirit walk at Old House Woods in Matthews this weekend. We will be, Kimberly and I, will be doing, along with Kevin, a couple other people, we'll be doing a spirit walk. And those tickets were $10, so you pay for them when you get there. But I think we only had, like, two spots left for that. So if you want to do that, it's going to be from 9 to 11 o'clock. And it's going to be really cool because I have equipment that has just came in. So I'm super excited about it. I go to the cabin on 360 tomorrow, and then I get to pick my equipment up. So I'm really happy about that. So anyway, let's get John Stevens on here so we can talk because we had a very fun-filled weekend. Let's see.
Yeah.
Are you there?
We did. I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you just fine.
Perfect.
How are you?
So,
did I lose you?
No, can you hear me?
Yep. Loud and clear.
This weekend was great.
I didn't hear you that time. You broke up.
I'm sorry. This weekend was great at the cabin.
Oh, yeah, it really was. We had a good time at the cabin on 360, didn't we?
I know it always happens, but when we get together with a few other people, it just gets out of hand.
Yeah, it does, but it's all in good research. I think I'm still tired from the cabin, to be honest with you, because I am exhausted. Like, I have been exhausted for a couple of days, and I'm really tired tonight. But you're right. I mean, we have a lot of fun.
Yes, that was, I laughed so hard Saturday night that, that was probably the highlight of my week. So,
yeah, but it's all in good research.
Yes, it is. So what we have to do is we have to explain to anyone that wasn't there a little bit about what we're talking about. We had a kind of like a private, invitation only potluck dinner at the cabin on 360. So it wasn't a public event, but there were a lot of people there. I say a lot, 20 people maybe. But we had good food, and we had a lot of fun, and some people dressed up, and we got to investigate while we were there. which anytime you investigate, most of the time you get the really good stuff over at the brick house in the basement. Everybody knows about that house and how active it can be. And but we have turned going into the cabin upstairs to the now infamous Pink Pearl Room as being the highlight of the evening, because once you go up into that room, adults only, of course, you have to be over 18. So anything goes up there verbally, and we got some great responses. I couldn't believe it. So,
yeah.
Yes, it is a way of investigating that not you don't have that many places you can do something like that, but there's nothing held back in that room.
Right.
And I think you get some responses sometimes when you aren't just simply asking the same questions that they're always asked. Hey, who is here? Who is with us tonight? All that stuff. You can do that in other places, but up in that room, we've kind of put our stamp onto that room. Word is getting out now.
You can't ask boring questions in the Pink Pearl.
No, you'll be asked to leave, actually, if you ask boring stuff.
Yeah. But it is very interesting. I find it very interesting research, because I think wearing a wig triggered a lot of stuff out there. Like, I want to wear my wig tomorrow. Because
are you going to the
graphic
tomorrow?
Yeah, we got tours tomorrow, so I'll be there from 7 to 9. But, I mean, I'm going to have to figure out how to style it, but it really did trigger a lot of things. I mean, I was called some pretty mean, you know, low-down names, and people don't think that that happens, but it does. And I'm just wondering, you know, with the type of, you know, like in the woods, for instance, at the cabin on 360, the woods back there, there's a lot of soldiers back there, you know, Civil War soldier spirits, or, you know, there's just different spirits there from different centuries, if you will. And I'm just, that wig really triggered it, because we got, you know, I got called a slut on an EVP.
Yes.
I mean, just plain as day, slut. And I'm like, well, if the shoe fits right now, because I got on a pink wig, you know, my boots and my pants, I had intentions of dressing a certain way for a trigger, but it worked.
Now, tell everybody what the so there's events. There were tours there tonight at the cabin on 360 in Mechanicsville, and there's tours tomorrow night. Tell everybody, if you know, tell everybody how much it costs and what the times are.
Yeah, it's like $10 for the tickets. And I believe he has them at two different times. That's why people need to go on the Cabin on 360's page, because he has different events set up, and you kind of click on the event that you want to go to and then get your ticket, pretty much. Because there's two different time slots. I believe one is 7 to 9 and then 9:30 to 11:30. I believe those are the time slots, but I don't know the days, because I thought he added a couple more days for tour.
He probably did.
Yeah, but let's, you know, since you and I are talking on the phone and we got, you know, we have some time with some things, I'm going to change the subject, because I want to touch on some stuff, because I know that you had the same same experiences. When you go paranormal, when you do your paranormal research, you know just as well as I do, when things are on TV, it is very, they have to dramatize it to make it be interesting.
That's right.
You know, so I'm trying to help people understand that when you go to places like the Cabin on 360, Old House Woods, you know, just different places in general, whether it's Williamsburg, Yorktown, we're not on TV. You know, we are that, we're trying to show people what research really is and what a paranormal investigation really is, because I think people are expecting, you know, to be touched or grabbed or spooked or something whispered in their ear. And it's not always that way, but it doesn't mean they're not there.
Yeah, that's right. And I have just about every investigation that I've done recently, and I'll just go back just to, you know, within the last couple of months, there's been enough evidence at these investigations that I've been at that it would convince a hardcore non-believer that there is at least something doing, and I'm just going to take EVPs, for example, because that's probably the easiest, coolest thing that we can do as investigators. And just like the other night, when we were upstairs at the cabin, and we've got, for instance, it said, we asked a question and the answer was Tony, who was, she was there that, you know, in our group, but it said her name and we all heard it and we were kind of, you know, kind of shocked by it. So when something like that happens, it's amazing. Now, there is a group. I believe they're called CRPI or CPRI or something like that. They are the real technical investigators, scientists of the paranormal. They are in the business of collecting data. They actually have an event. They just had an event at Bacon's Castle this weekend. They're going to be at the John Marshall House in Richmond tomorrow. But they set up sensors and all of this equipment because they try to capture temperature change and magnetic field change. And, I mean, they even do astrological stuff.
Interesting.
They track all of that. And they're not necessarily doing it to try to, like what we do on kind of on an elementary level, to speak with ghosts. They're not trying to do that. They are trying to make a correlation that there are things going on that we can't see. We may hear it on a voice, but there might be, like they always will say in their evidence that they'll have the EVP at the 5-second mark, but at the 2-second mark, they had a fluctuation in some reading that they had. If that was consistent every time they got a good EVP, they got this thing several seconds before it actually happened. So those guys, they're the real scientists, and they really get hardcore into that data. The normal investigators like you and I, we can just take a recorder wherever we're at, and that can be all we need to bring us back
right
each time. And I will say this.
Right.
We got some good EVPs the other night, believe me. And
oh yeah, you know, oh I know we did, and we got good ones in the we got good ones in the basement too, you know, and we got some good ones at the woods, you know. It's just sometimes I think when people go to like these events, they're expecting what they see on TV, and it's not. And people don't understand the countless hours that you spend listening and reviewing EVPs, recordings. You know, you spend, my body cam records 10 minutes per section, you know, 10 minutes per segment. So if I'm at an investigation, you know, for 3 hours, then of course I'm listening to 3 hours worth of, you know, and I'm watching and listening 3 hours worth of body cam footage to get that one EVP, you know, and the, you know, the TV automatically cuts it, you know, cuts all that crap where not everybody is listening to that, is what I guess I'm trying to say. And I just wanted people to kind of understand that just because, you know, you may not get anything on the equipment. Sometimes they don't want to play with the equipment, you know. Sometimes they don't even want to talk into the recorder, but it doesn't mean they're not there.
Yeah, that's right. And a lot of people get bored. I've been on some investigations where we start off with a group of 15, and after a couple of hours, it's half that size because those people have, this is not what they thought it was going to be, and they end up leaving during one of the breaks.
Right. Yeah.
And I guess I'm not like that because I've experienced enough where it will bring me back. That's why I think there's certain things you can do to really make things interesting, though. I think there's some
things. Like fair wig.
Right.
Fair wig and dress like a stripper in the 17th century. It's perfect. It's a perfect trigger. Figure that out.
Yeah.
Saturday.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you think?
Oh my God.
I have some pet peeves with some techniques that people do at investigations, and I don't think they're very good. And I don't think that there's a lot of. It's almost like watching a movie that's not very good. It's just like you're waiting for the action to happen, but it's never going to happen. And I know I will piss people off with this, but when somebody pulls out divining rods in an investigation, I think there's a place for those. And I've seen them used and gotten good responses to questions in the right environment. But don't have me sit there and watch somebody play with divining rods for like 45 minutes.
Right.
Because that is beyond torture.
Right.
I would rather do. Now, on the other hand, so that's one of my pet peeves, but one of the things that I'd love to do, and I think for people that are just investigating for the very first time, is to do burst sessions where you ask a question and wait for a response. Ask like 5 questions and wait for the responses, and then go back and play and see what you got. Because there's an anticipation. What did I get? And sometimes, like the other night, because replaying the thing, I think there's something there. And then after you listen to it about 5 times, you're like, there it is. It's clear as day. I can hear it. And you may have to play it. You may have to play it for somebody that's not, can't hear the recorder that well. You may have to play it for them, like Savannah was doing for me the other night. she'd say, "Now listen to this," and I would hear it, but only after it was because maybe it was a low whisper or something like that. It was hard to hear. But after
some of those whispers, they're faint.
So,
some of them are real faint.
Very faint, and you may. There's a good chance you're never going to catch that on the first time you listen to that.
True.
So I think a lot of it is technique. So what do you, when you have a group of, and you have half the people in the group have never investigated before, you can set up the REM pods and you can do all this. With things going off, that helps. But there, I was with, and I'll tell you, I was with a group we were outside in the woods, not at the cabin. This was at another place. And they pulled out the divining rods. Okay, I get that. And then they pulled out their swinging crystals or whatever.
Pendulum.
That's what it was. Yeah. And I'm like, for an hour and a half, we did pendulum and divining rods.
Oh, and hell no.
That's why half of those people left the first time they could, first opportunity they could get. I mean, I would have left. I mean, that's not really investigating if that's the best you got.
Right. Right.
To me, that's.
I have new dowsing rods, but I don't really. I've got dowsing rods and I have pendulums. I have a whole collection of them, but I really don't. I use dowsing rods mostly for like geopathic stress and looking for portals. So, well, yesterday I had a field day with them because I was out with one of my friends and we were out, you know, getting the feel of these new rods that I got from Dennis, you know, trying to just to see the accuracy of them and trying to learn how to hold them. But I don't know if I would, like, use those in an actual investigation. I would get bored.
I believe that they work. Center, that cannot be your go-to thing in an investigation.
It really can't. Because those dowsing rods, like yesterday, is the perfect example. These are new dowsing rods. I'm not familiar with them. They're very light. They're very one little gust of wind is going to throw them off. However, I wanted to be able to know how to hold those particular rods properly so that I could feel the pull of water, for instance, because that is what they are, that's what they originally were used for, of course, is to find water. So that's what I was doing like yesterday afternoon. I kind of pulled them out with a friend that is an expert dowser, and, you know, we were around town looking at the direction of different water mains, and because if you don't hold them a certain way, you change the energy. I don't know how to explain it. You change the energy touch. You can't feel them pull if you hold them incorrectly. So you really got to know what you're doing when you use them things, for real.
Yes, exactly. That's right. And
I mean, really. And I could feel the pull. I know by how I hold them that and you rest them in a certain position and you're in the palm of your hand, but you can feel the pull in your stomach when you're near a, like, water source, for instance. So the dowsing rods that I got from Dennis Eslog that I bought from him are very accurate. And I, like I said, I had a lady that is an expert dowser. I mean, she is, like, really good. I mean, like I would take her with me. She goes into a different mindset when she douses, but she really knew her shit. And, you know, it was really good to have a somebody that is an expert, a professional in that, to say, you know, hey, these are really good. These are really good rods. These are really lightweight. But I've never, like I said, I've never used them to investigate with. I only look for geopathic stress lines is what my main reason why I use them.
Okay. And there's a time and a place for it.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I just think that there are other things that can be used.
Yeah.
I mean, I could literally, with John Sullivan and his recorder, sit there and do that for hours. When we just ask questions and he plays back the answers. And
yeah.
it never gets old. It's like some of the responses we've gotten on there have been crazy. And
oh, yeah, I agree. I was with him that first night at the Pink Pearl along with you with responses that my body cam didn't even pick up.
Right.
You know,
my friend from Ohio, when he came down this summer to visit and we went to Belgrove and we got to investigate after the ghost tour, we went to the caretaker's house, which is much like the Brick Rancher. It's got some really strong stuff in there going on.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes his recorder and sits it in the back room and then comes back into the living room where we're at. He said, I'm just going to leave it back there and see what we get. And then 5 minutes later, he goes back there and gets it and he comes and brings it back out and plays what it captures. And there's like a whole freaking conversation going on.
Right.
That we didn't even know. Well, you know, that kind of stuff is just, that's just unbelievable.
Right.
It's funny because you're talking about, I went to this event out at Henricus a couple of weeks ago, and Lalot, who does Haunted Nights, and he's the leader of Twisted Paranormal, he asked at the very beginning, he said, how many of y'all are here for the first time? How many are investigating for the first time? And half of the room raised their hand.
Yeah, that's what happened at the cabin. That's what happened at the cabin on Friday. New people.
So I have. There's a lot of stuff that. That's what makes my page. If I can promote my page a little bit, that's why my page, I always have a lot of stuff being put on there constantly, because I want people to know about these events, and I don't want them to have to, like, now was, you know, to try to hunt it down. I want to be advertising these events so that people will have choices. Because more so now, things are really starting to gear up where there are events, multiple events, every weekend. And it's hard to keep it straight. And you don't have to try to do each event, but at least what I look at it is it gives you choices. So I may do an event at one place this month, and they have another event coming up later at the end of the month. I may say, hey, I may not be able to do that one because I'm doing this one, and then maybe in another month or so I'll be able to come back and do it again. That type of
right.
thing. So when you're really good about sending people to my page. We've seen an explosion. Yeah, we've seen an explosion of new members. And there's a couple of reasons why, but mostly it's word of mouth, I believe, that people have started really tuning into that page. I'll also plug, we also have a new website called virginiaparanormalevents.com. If you want to go there, there's a link to the Facebook page on there. I'm going to also eventually have, once we figure out how to do it, I might have the link to the Twitter page as well, and probably Instagram. But, so if you go to my page, like Steve Dills always tells me, he said, John, it wouldn't be a day if I didn't wake up with 20 messages from, you know, that you've posted. And we just laugh because he goes, you're just always posting stuff about what's coming down. I said, I know, people got to be made aware.
Yeah.
And you're talking about October.
It looks like the Pink Bunny has decided to join us tonight. Hey, hey. Sorry, I had to say that.
You have to tell me who's been listening, because I haven't been able to look at the Facebook live.
Well, Pink Bunny is definitely on.
Nice.
And it's not Savannah. Steve White, he's on. He's in Facebook jail. Beth Barnes is on. I'm trying to scroll down because I didn't realize I had people on. I saw people, but I didn't realize it went so fast. I guess I wasn't paying attention. So we do have a few people on, but you know, I do agree with you. People need to know the different events. Steve White says he feels like he's on a hip trip. Oh yeah, with my lights. Yeah, you can't see my lights in the background, John. I got a fun light, and so I'm just talking to you, but I'm having fun with changing this she shed different colors at the same time. Of course, if somebody was stoned or tripping watching this, they'd really be screwed up right about now, so I better slow down the strobe.
Yeah, that's right. Well, that's another show we'll do when we talk about the effect of psychedelics on and ghost hunting.
I'm wondering what would happen if you took this light bulb and put it in the pink pearl at the cabin on 360. I'm just wondering how that would trigger, if that would trigger anything.
It may cause me to spaz out, but other than that,
because it is one of those hookerish type lights where you can change all the colors, you know, you can, it just goes psychedelic on you. It's a really cool light, and I'm just wondering if it would trigger the party. Don't burn down the she shed. I hope it don't burn down.
I swear. Can't have the she shed burn down.
No, you really can't, because I do my show out of here, and I got a new bed in here now. All I got to do is get me a mattress. I'm all set. I do. I got a portable bed. It folds back into the wall. It's really cool.
Let me, if I can, just share some of the events that are coming up.
Sure, go ahead.
And I'm this is not going to be an all-inclusive list, because I could literally go on for the whole show. But
yes,
there are
with
October, this is probably the biggest month with events, you would think. But that's just because it's literally every night there's something going on. You mentioned about the cabin tonight and tomorrow night. There's also, and possibly some other nights that they will add. Like next week during, I believe, from Sunday through Wednesday, they are doing ghost walks at Hanover Tavern. Those are like hour-long, kind of more like tours, but they do some neat stuff at those. And it's only about $10, something like that. So that's good. This weekend, there's Haunted Henricus again. I think that's put on by.
I wanted to go to that. Damn it.
And don't let me forget. I'll go back and we'll talk about some of the events that I've done since the last time we were on the show. And tell you what those events. So one of my fun things that we got coming up, and they finally released it. This is they are having the ghost tours at Rosewell. Starting
finally.
This Friday and Saturday night, they have two tours. So anybody that wants to, Rosewell is a really neat place. But it's even better at night, and they have some really good stories. And it's really a fun evening. So,
yeah.
And it's only like $10. But this Friday and Saturday night, they have two tours each night. I know in years past they sell out.
Yeah,
because
they do.
Probably like 20 spots in each tour that they do. So they run some people through there. That's this weekend and next weekend, same thing. They have an event this Saturday at Bacon's Castle
you
could check out. It's not a tour or an inside event, though. It is a walk the grounds at night event, which is a really creepy
cool
place. You mentioned about the thing Saturday night.
Spirit walk. That's going to be
the
fun.
Spirit walk at Old House Woods.
Yeah, that's going to be fun and educational.
I have a wedding to go to, speaking of spirited events. I have a wedding to go to that night, or else I would be joining y'all. So,
oh, damn it.
I know. That's what I was like. This is a really
cancel
cool
the
event.
Cancel the wedding.
I know. And this Blandford Church in Petersburg. Have you ever been to Blandford Church? That's a great place to visit. A lot of history at that church. They're having a cemetery ghost tour, which is unheard of for them. That's going on this Saturday. Shirley Plantation, Edgewood, and Berkeley. It's three places you will tour. I think it's around $30. That's like slap middle of the day event where you hear ghost stories at each place. That's a really, it's a fun event. Told you about Rosewell. All right, so let's talk about Halloween that weekend. So the Octagon Mansion on the 30th, Friday night and Saturday night in Withville, Virginia. That is an up-and-coming place. So I'll backtrack and tell you about Octagon Mansion. Is one of these places that I met the owner at Henricus. He was there. His name is John. And he was telling me all about it. They had bought the place, and they've been redoing it, working on it. The place is very, very active. They have things happen there all the time. he's opening it up all the time now for events. Whitfield is in the middle of nowhere. I will just put it that way. So, they're doing a lot of things that are overnight, where you can actually stay there and stuff like that. But they have an event Halloween weekend. They've got their next big event will be in December, where they'll have a dinner and investigation. That is an event that is probably going to be their big event coming up. Belgrove next Friday and Saturday night. They have a big Halloween bash going on there, and they will have. They're encouraging people wear costumes and things like that. There's going to be investigation. There's a lot of stuff going on. That's put on by Haunted Nights. Paranormal puts that on.
Excuse me.
Pamplin Park, November 7th.
Are you going to that?
I've got my ticket.
Okay.
I just got my ticket for November 7th, Pamplin Park, and then there are still tickets available for that. We got so much I got to talk about. I'm going to have to speed up because I keep thinking of things that we've got to talk about.
We got 47 minutes.
Do I?
Step up the game.
I know that. Well, the last time we ran it, like, right up to the last 10 seconds. I mean, it was like you like, literally said you have 10 seconds left. All right, so November 14th, two things going on. One, Masonic Temple in Norfolk, put on by Flumery Productions. That's part of RTL is part of their group. They will have Daryl Marston and Mustafa there at the Masonic Temple in Norfolk on the 14th, that same night. In Norfolk as well, the USS Wisconsin, put on by the Haunted Knights people. All-night investigation of the USS Wisconsin. Never been investigated before by a group. And I was told that that place is crazy active. Big event coming up, 11 on November 28th, which is at the Exchange Hotel. It's a paranormal seminar and then investigation afterwards. Got your friend and mine, Dr. Don, is going to be there. Steve Dills, Flip Searles, a couple others are going to be there. They're going to have a question and answer session and then an investigation. And I think tickets are $40. There's still some of those available for the weekend of November 28th. Then coming up in December, you got an event on the 5th at Dunlora that Transcend is doing. That's Dunlora's a bed and breakfast in Mineral, Virginia. Also the same night, St. Albans, Tennessee Rate Chaser is going to be there. The 4th, that Friday night, actually, at the Octagon, is the Haunted Nights event. That's an all-night event, so it goes the 5th. I believe they're doing it the 5th into Sunday as well. Then on the 12th of December, TWC is going to be, or the Tennessee Rate Chaser is going to be at the Exchange Hotel that night. They always come in December. That's a great event. Looking at also that night, another great event that's more local, Pamplin Park Toys for Tot. So we did the event last year. It was at the Cabin on 360. This year we'll be able to have even more people. They raise, you bring a toy and that gets you a ticket. There may be a ticket you have to purchase as well. But that's a great event. The Marines are behind the Toys for Tots. They'll be represented there, and you bring a toy, and then they're able to give these toys to the kids that don't have much of a Christmas.
Right.
We all know how good Hamblin Park is, and to be able to investigate there is see how things are starting to open up. So Hamblin Park was one of those places where they stayed closed up until recently, and Henricus was like that. The Exchange was like that. All these places now are opening up. Guess what? They are starting to get more money now from these investigations than they would from normal ticket buyers during the week. So all these events, like I said, are for money-raising events.
Right.
Many of these people in these groups are doing these events with the proceeds going to support the place that the investigation's at to help raise money for them. And that's really the best, you know, so you don't, you know, if an event is $35, $40, you know, not everybody has that type of money that they can do, but at least you know that that's more, that it's like giving a donation to keep them open, keep them running.
Yeah. Steve White put in the comments that he was going to go live from Charlie Brown's pumpkin patch on Halloween, because he said it's been said every year on Halloween the ghost of Lucy and Pigpen are seen.
I'll if Steve has that show, I'll tune in.
Oh, that is so cute.
Since the last time we talked, we had the Paracon at Fleetwood Church. I did the Henricus event, and we did this past weekend's event at the cabin.
Yes.
Those were three events that I did. So the Fleetwood Paracon was great. Bigger, twice as big, three times as big as it was last year. We had a good turnout. The weather was good. Saw all the groups that I've mentioned tonight. Fredericksburg Paranormal, RTL, RVA was there. Dr. Don was there. Jake Fife. Got to talk with Paul Shields and his group. They were over at the Graffiti House, which is a great place to investigate. Can't say enough of good things about Paul Shields, and what a cool guy he is. But along with that, saw people like Debbie there, and Cherie, and so many of our people that we know, and get to see them all in one place. It was really cool, and then got to investigate at night. So that was a full event, and then Henricus event was cool, because that was with the guys from the Tennessee Wraith Chasers, put on by Haunted Nights. And we had a lot of cool things happen at that event as well. Henricus is really growing on me now. I mean, I'm starting to realize why that place is so active.
See, I haven't been there yet.
It's more so the land, because they don't have any original buildings on that property. It's the land that still is holding things, spirits in place, because we went into, and I say we, it was me and two or three ladies that were in part of our group. We went into this tent area, and we were warned before we go in there that a lot of activity happens in there, and it's usually not good. So, of course, I was like, I'll go, you know. And I go in there, and immediately we start getting stuff on not only EVPs, but stuff when we did spirit box session. Stuff was coming through that. One of the ladies was an empath, and she was like, she got totally whacked out and had to leave. And then when we all came out, they were like, see, we told you, you can't be like in there more than like 10 minutes before things start going nuts, you know, and people have to start to leave. And so when that happens, you kind of get excited, you know, a little bit. Much like what happens at the brick rancher down in the basement. It's probably not good to be in that brick rancher more than 20 minutes, you know?
No.
It really isn't. I mean, down in the basement part, more than 20 minutes. That should be about a cutoff.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah,
you can be affected, but you don't even know it.
Yeah. Steve White had a question. Steve White wanted to know which location has more Civil War history, the Octagon House or the land surrounding the 360 cabin?
I would say the cabin on 360. I'm not sure of what happened around the Octagon, even though it is a Civil War era house. I don't know if there were any battles fought around that land like there is and proven to be around the cabin on 360.
I gotcha.
The cabin on 360 is literally sitting on a battlefield. And that whole part of 360 right through there is all battlefield. I mean, development just destroyed anything as far as trying to preserve that. We destroyed that a long time ago by allowing houses to be built and roads to cut right through the battlefield. But
yeah.
I would say that all the activity we get at the cabin is Civil War related.
I think there's different dimensions there.
Definitely different things going on. And it might be where I'm at, you know?
Right.
If I go stand out in the woods or down that gravel road at night, you know, am I getting the same thing that's in the basement of the cabin, you know, at the brick house? Probably not.
No, yeah.
Especially when I'm standing out in the middle of a battlefield. I'm probably getting some type of residual energy and stuff from spirits from the Civil War that were killed. As opposed to what I perceive to be something a little bit more sinister that's in the brick rancher.
Right.
I don't think we've ever found out what that is.
No, I don't think anybody has ever figured out what that is, but I know when Ryan and I went down with his daughter and his girlfriend on his daughter and her boyfriend, I'm sorry, on Saturday, we got some interesting EVPs when we asked certain questions. And so supposedly it's another dimension down there, and there's a portal in the corner where the water heater is. That's what we got on an EVP. we asked if there was another dimension there, and a male voice came through and said yes. And then another male voice said portal. That's what we got. And so that's where your dowsing rods come in. When you're looking for portal or a pendulum, and you're looking for portals, because they open a certain way, a pendulum swings a certain way, and then when you're at the end of the portal, they close a certain way, and a pendulum turns a certain way when you're looking for portals. So I'm just wondering, theory-wise, where does the portal end? Where does it begin and where does it end? It's so tempting. I would have to let Dennis probably take the dowsing rods down there, since there's such a bad energy down there.
Yeah, and even if there is a portal, you just don't, you know, some people say that there's a portal at the Exchange Hotel on the top floor of the kitchen. That's whether there's a portal there or not, it doesn't say anything about what type of bad energy there could be.
So, no.
You know, we've been down in the basement at the rancher, and people see shadow figures all the time.
Or orbs.
Yes, and people experience stuff pointing over at the water heater all
mm-hmm.
the time. So I've got to do something with that picture I took of Savannah, that one with she's shining the flashlight. She actually put it on her page as her profile picture.
Yeah.
I took several pictures of her with her in that silhouette look, because, you know, you're down there in the dark, and I wasn't using the flash, and I captured that picture, and it's a really cool picture, which I put on that page. She has on her page, but I want to do something more with that. It's almost like it could be a picture that the Cabin on 360 can use for advertising. I don't know.
Right. Yeah, I think I stole that picture to put in on my next video clip that I'm going to do for the Cabin on 360. I believe I have taken that and saved it into my phone when I do my next clip.
It's a cool picture, and I'm not just saying that because I took it. There's a lot to that picture. I mean, there's a story behind that picture, and there's that picture. We've seen that same type of picture down there, where she hears a sound and turns and flashes the flashlight over in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen that happen 100 times.
Right.
It just happens to look cool because she's dressed up with the hat on and stuff like that. But that brings me to another thing before I forget. So I had a good talk with Dennis, and, you know, we were talking about the cabin and everything that's going on with the cabin and all the events that are going to start taking place. I'm just kind of going to throw it out there, and this is not something that he didn't say I couldn't say. But there is going to be more events at the cabin coming up. It's going to be on a more regular basis. So
nice.
These things that we're seeing, you know, like right now where we're having tours during the middle of the week, there'll be more of that and a
right.
lot more of it. And he was telling me about some things that are possibly going to be coming down the road. and I can't, I'm not at liberty to say what they are, but will, could essentially cause there to be great demand for the cabin to be
good
investigated. And I thought of it, but he said it. The Hinsdale house up in New York is been on all these TV shows. One of the groups went in there and made it famous because there's been some things that happened at that house in the Hinsdale house. And John Sullivan and John Harris, they go up there and investigate, and they love going to investigate. They invited me to go next July 4th to go with them, which if I can swing that, I certainly will, because I want to experience what they're experiencing when they go up there. But that place would have never been known if a group had not gone in there and investigated, a famous group, and put it
right
on a TV show.
Right.
And now guess what? The Hinsdale house, you have to book a night well in advance because the calendar fills up just to be able to investigate there. If that ever happens at the cabin, personally, I've never been to the Hinsdale house, so I don't know what exists there. But I will say this, that the stuff at the cabin on 360 can't be too far behind from what I've experienced.
Oh, I agree with you on that.
The cabin on 360 might even be more haunted.
Right. Yeah, I agree with you on that.
So I'm just saying, just in speaking with Dennis wasn't the only one I've spoken to recently about things like that, where we're talking about a location becoming very, very popular and events
mm-hmm.
are going to start happening there all the time.
Right.
So some of these places that are in need of money, that are in need of being supported, these investigations are going to help with that. Berkeley is starting to see that as they do more events. I was telling somebody the other day, they were like, "You're going to go to the Berkeley event?" It was actually, she's going to be at the Berkeley event. She's one of the famous people that are going to be there. And
nice.
I said, "Yeah, I'm hoping to. I haven't bought my ticket yet, but I'm hoping that I can get there, because Berkeley is literally, I'm going to say this, and I'm not out on a limb on saying this, Berkeley, the Berkeley Plantation on Route 5 in Charles City, Virginia, is the most historical place in America. I dare anyone to tell me that there's more history anywhere else in America than what happened on the land at Berkeley Plantation in Charles City, Virginia. They had Indian Wars. They had Revolutionary Wars. They had Civil War show up. 100,000 troops camped on that property. Taps was found was written there and played there for the first time. The first Thanksgiving was practiced on that land. There have been...
Yeah, I like Berkeley Plantation.
There are like three presidents that have been born in that house. There have been like nine presidents that can trace their lineage back to that house. I'm just going to stop there and just say, now what happens with these historical places? What usually follows in the rational thinking? There's a lot of haunted crap that has gone on, that is going on at Berkeley.
Yeah.
And you can experience that during the day, but at night, when you walk through their family cemetery at night, there on the James River, it is beyond creepy. I've gotten the best picture of orbs I've ever taken walking back from that cemetery up to the carriage house by myself on a graveled road that was a path, and I decided to turn around. This sounds familiar. And I took a picture, and only to go and look at it when I got inside and warmed up and saw three orbs in a row in a direct line following behind me.
And oh, I remember. I think you posted that one, didn't you?
Yes, because it is the pictures before and after that don't have it. You know, like a birth session where I took like 10 pictures in a row, and there's only one picture that has these three dots all lined up like they're crossing the road right behind me. Of course, I had to turn around. I took that picture. I had scared myself to death because I'm in the dark. I don't know what's coming up behind me. The only light I have is the moon. And I'm by myself. That sounds like the picture that I took at the manor house at Powhatan Plantation in Williamsburg. Spooking myself out on the second floor. David's the only one in the house. He's on the bottom floor. And I said, David, I'm going to go up and take some pictures. And I go up, and I'm taking pictures like I do, and usually taking them, you know, without a flash because I like to lighten them up once I get them onto my computer and stuff like that. Because you take a flash, you're just going to get a picture of a room, you know.
Right.
You're not going to see any shadows or anything.
That's true.
And then I heard something coming down the steps. The steps that were above me, not the ones that I had come up to come up onto that floor, but the steps that were above me. I heard something creaking down those steps, like step, step, step. And that brought me out of that room and into the hallway, and I looked. There's nobody coming up the steps. And I said, that's what I thought, is the steps above me. And so I go back into the room, and I start taking pictures, but I turned around and pointed the camera behind me and started taking a burst session of pictures where I'm taking one after the other. And that's when I captured what is on the Virginia Paranormal Events page.
Right. I remember
did
that picture,
yeah, I didn't even know it until I got home the next day and lightened it up and saw what I had captured.
Mm-hmm.
So
that was a good catch.
Now, you know, we as investigators, we're always taught what's the best piece of equipment we have. It's ourselves. So the hair on the back of my neck is standing up from the hearing the sound of it coming down the steps. And I'm trying to comprehend this because I know I'm the only one, and David's the only one downstairs. There's nobody upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, David does these tours. He's the only one that's doing them. And so the hairs on the back of my neck, standing straight up. I'm sitting there going, "All right, John, now you're starting to freak yourself out. You better hurry up, finish up, and get downstairs before something reaches out and grabs your arm or something, you know." And that's the only thing I think of, hurry up, going downstairs, and that's what I did. I think if you were to put some type of monitor on me, you would see or feel my heart racing. Who's to say? Now, we're going back and talking about monitoring things as an investigator. I'm going to tie this in here to There was a guy at Henricus called Chris Balasani. He's known as the paranormal medic. He was on, I believe, Ghost Nation last year. I believe it was last year. And he was at Henricus as the guest. And he has he's come up with his own piece of equipment. It's a heart monitor. Like it's an EKG machine.
Mm-hmm.
And so he has proven by doing this a lot that he will see, you know, in reading those EKGs, how they're all consistent. It's all consistent, these mountain and valleys on the reading that chart.
Right.
And you'll see it go like up. Like he's seeing it real time. So he sees it out an anomaly in the movement. And then 5 seconds later you get an EVP. Now he says he has repeatedly seen this. So what is happening is your body is actually picking up on something without even knowing about it, but this machine is so sensitive it can pick it up, that something is happening prior to the EVP happening or to the event happening. Like your body knows that it's going to happen and it's preparing itself for it. So he is working, and the more he does this, he realizes that this has just not happened once. It happens like literally every time he uses this.
Mm-hmm.
The spikes come before the evidence that we hear as an EVP comes through the machine. The same way when we're out investigating, you get the sense, you probably more than me, you will get the sense that there's something here. There's something not right.
Right.
There's abnormal here. There's some spirit here. There's something paranormal going on. And you may not even say it, but you know it.
Right.
You don't even have to be touched or your hair pulled or rubbed or anything like that. You just know.
Right, that's true.
And so your body will tell you a lot of times that there is something here. And, you know, if you're investigating for the first time, you may not be able to sense that or figure that out. If you investigate 100 times, you're going to get good at being able to tell there's a difference here between it just being cold outside and me sensing something cold.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
So you do learn those techniques. Your body learns. You learn to know what your body is saying. Is basically what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true.
So, and that was a rambling thing I know about sensing something when I was taking pictures. That my body was telling me that things are not normal. And so now, when I go, if I go to the jail at Hanover Courthouse, and I walk into that building where I know people have been hung inside that jail, and I know the worst people in the world have been kept inside that jail, and people have been murdered inside that jail, I don't even need to know that before, because the very first time I went in there, I was like, oh, no, it is powerful in here. And I said, I'm glad I'm not like an empath or a sensitive or whatever, I'd be running out of here. And then they started telling me about everything that happened. I was like, oh, now I know why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it's
in the woods, like going in the woods this weekend at the cabin, you could see that it's like the spirits didn't want to talk. Like on the tour Friday, for instance, they didn't want to talk, but I could sense that there was something behind me. I knew that there was something behind me. And so I took some pictures, and I did take three. Those pictures are posted, three of them in a row. And you can see something, I believe, in the second picture. Because, you just feel like that you're being watched. And they just wasn't, I don't know why they wasn't in the mood to talk. They just really wasn't. But then you go Saturday, and oh my God, it's like, they're so active, and, you know, I'm looking at Ryan because I can see them moving back and forth in the woods. You know, you can see figures moving back and forth, shadow figures, you know, so, and then again, you felt like you were being watched.
It's hard to capture
so
that
very
stuff with video cameras and cameras. It's really hard to capture that stuff.
It really is. You see it with your eyes. If you look, you can, you know, your eyes, of course, have to adjust. But you can see figures. But like with me, you know, they just, I don't know how to explain it to you. It's almost like somebody is showing me a picture behind me. Like they'll, it's almost like a, I don't know, it's almost like a mirror or something in behind me. And then I'll see a man step out in behind me. And then I'm like, oh. You know, I've got a man in behind me, and they're not showing me fully what they look like. I just know it's a male, like, silhouette of a male, pretty much. Because, I mean, being at the cabin for those 2 days, I've had some repercussions, psych attacks from the cabin, too, these past couple nights. I've had some really awful psych attacks, like, I won't even consider them psych attacks. They were like violations, and I don't like it. But that's what happens when you, like Dennis says, well, you're going to ask these questions in the Pink Pearl. What do you expect? You know, but it's just, it's wild to me.
You had.
Don't think they won't follow you home.
Right. I think you have to kind of keep that in mind, too, to make sure mm-hmm. that you do
yep.
everything you can not have them follow you at home.
Yeah, because I know the time I went to Shirley Plantation, I picked up a lot of stuff on when I went to Shirley Plantation, just a lot, more than Berkeley. I hate to say it, but it was true. It was like they really showed themselves at Shirley Plantation, and you know, when I got home that night and went to bed, I got knocked right upside the head. I mean, like, it was like somebody took a hammer and hit me upside my head, and it was just one of those spirits to say, huh, you know, don't come back. It was kind of like that feeling, but I really got hit hard upside the head. Like, I felt that for the rest of the day, for a couple days. You know, so you have to be careful, you know, and, you know, you always say prayers and stuff when you leave, or at least I do, and I'm like, keep your asses there, you ain't coming home with me. But then when I get one of these attacks happen, like I had this morning, I'm like, where the hell are you at, you little guardian angels? I thought you were supposed to be protecting my white light bubble. What the hell? You know, I'm so mad. Because I woke up to something on me, and that's what I didn't like. Like, I could still feel their creepy little lips on my lip, and I'm like, ew. This is so disgusting. I mean, I woke up, and I was like, you know, grasping my breath, but I knew it was a male figure. But when we were in the basement at the cabin, you know, on the brick ranch or at the cabin on 360, the brick rancher, we got an EVP of a man saying, "I would like to kiss," and didn't say anything else. And Ryan said, "Who would you like to kiss?" And they wouldn't answer. So I just I just think that's bizarre, okay, how I'm waking up at that time in the morning just with this male. Ugh. I told Dennis I felt so violated. I was violated, you know, because I didn't ask for them to come. And then I was mad because my spirit, I'm like, where's my little ball of white light, people? Where you at? You're supposed to be watching me in my sleep. Protecting me. What the hell happened? They must have slacked off.
I forgot to tell you this. I did a ghost tour when I was in Williamsburg last weekend or 2 weekends ago. And so I got to see our favorite house, Peyton Randolph House, and heard some more stories. Huh? And
I said, "Aw."
I know. And there, right when we were outside of the house, one of the cleaning crew, they come in at night, in the middle of the night or late at night, and that's the only time they have a chance to go inside and clean these places. And they come out, and she was getting in her van, and I was like, "Well, we need to have you shut up, and we need to interview her, because she's the one that sees and hears everything and probably doesn't even want to talk about it."
Right.
But, you know, because he can sit there and tell those stories all night, but we know that the cleaning crew and the people and the, you know, the people that fix things in these places, they're the ones that know really what goes on. I was going to ask you, what's it going to take for us to get into that Christopher Robinson house down there in Urbana and investigate that place?
I don't know if they'll let anybody do that, because I don't even know. I think it's a family. It's family owned still with Walt Hurley. Even though he's passed away, I think his children still own it, and I don't know if they'll be open to letting anything like that happen there, since their dad did pass away on that property.
Well, you know as well as I do that that would be a great place.
I agree with you. The Marble House, too. The Marble House in Urbana. I don't know who owns the Marble House, but I would love to. The only way that you're going to be able to get into places like that is when they do their Christmas tours. But you won't even be able to investigate. It would be more of a walk-through tour, and then if you're super sensitive, you'll be able to pick up stuff, you know, there. But other than that, unless... I forgot who owned the Marble House. I think Marjorie might know. They're from Richmond, I think. I would like to go into that house because I know there's stuff up on the third floor of that house. But I know the Christopher Robbins house with Walt passing away and being found there, it's a little difficult, I think.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would
have
to find that out from his kids, because I know Walt was going to – he was going to allow me to go in there at one point, but that happened, you know, he passed away before that was able to happen, pretty much, which sucked.
And can I
but
just
I can
say
tell you,
something?
You know, huh? Yeah, we
can
got
I
about four. Say... Yeah, you got about 4 minutes to say something.
Okay. So... Let me tell you a little bit about this Williamsburg ghost tour thing. So it was just because we were down there, needed something to do for the night. So we did it. Now, I'd done one before, but this was an hour and a half long. So it was rather lengthy, and we walked a lot. However, let me tell you that the money that flows through. This was on a Thursday night, by the way. So our group, our tour, had 35 people in it, and it was sold out. They sell out every night.
I know. That's why I can't go. I know.
This one tour has two events each night, and they sell out. They cap out at 35 people. We passed another group, or actually they were passing us. Two of them, two groups. One had 50 people in it, because that's what he tells me. He said they kept theirs at 50. And about a half hour later, another 50 people walked by. This is on a Thursday night in Williamsburg. It's a work night. So it's not even a holiday week. So it's not like you can say these are all people from out of town. I know a lot of people, they probably were out of towners. But still, that's just the sheer amount of people that are interested.
That stays busy. I mean, I know it does because Marjorie and I went there one time to do one of the tours, and we got into one, but we couldn't get into the other because they sold out.
Right. And
so we just did our own investigation.
We tried to do the Yorktown Ghost Tour on Friday night, and that they were already sold out for Friday and Saturday night when I tried to get tickets for that. And and you know, because I want, you know, that's Jeff Santos with Virginia Paranormal Investigations. That's his tour that he does, and you know, and that's a nice little tour as well. You know, it's entertaining. It's, you know, $10. It's better than going to a movie. And it's, you know, haunted Yorktown. So it doesn't get much better than that.
Right.
So I've got some things, you know, up my sleeve for the coming year I want to do. But right now, kind of excited about all the events that are going on, all these places. For instance, let's just take the Octagon Mansion. Has really gotten on in the last couple of months, last 3 or 4 months, with having investigations, and they are doing stuff every month now. So
we got about 90 seconds on here before she kicks us off.
Starting to get started back in the cabin, and Henricus is starting to do things almost every week now. So I'm looking for the exchange to come back. The Manor House down at Powhatan Plantation, we can hope that that gets that they haven't shut it down for good. That David Flowers is going to do that again.
That's going to be fun.
There are several places in Richmond that I've heard are ready to start opening their doors to investigating where they would have never done that in the past.
Right.
So we've already
30 seconds.
We've seen it with Berkeley. Shirley really doesn't do investigations, but Berkeley is doing investigations at least a couple of times a year now. So I'll let you finish up. Tell me what you want to do and think what's coming up.
My 10 seconds that I got left, the only thing that I have to say is I got the Connor sisters on my show this coming up Tuesday, next Tuesday. So y'all make sure you tune into that because it's going to be a lot of fun. And John, they're going to cut us off like now.
All right.
So
I'll see y'all.
She's going to cut us off. So I appreciate you coming on.
Yep. See you in a few weeks.
All righty. Thanks.
Thanks. No, thank you. See ya. Bye-bye.
Yep. All right. Bye.